What is up? What is going on, everyone? David, SVA Card Collectors. Yes, I know it's been a long time. A very, very long time. A super duper long time. But I really had nothing to say. There's stuff going on, but I wasn't really following it. So I was just moseying on with life. And so, yeah, that's what I've been doing. Right now, I'm thinking back of like when I first started collecting in like 2018, cards that I thought, like I couldn't figure out why. Like I was like, Peyton Manning, all his rookie cards are so cheap. I wonder, I guess it is the way it is. Shaquille O'Neal's cards are so cheap. That's just the way the hobby is. And then with COVID and everything like that, I was going, I tell people, don't even buy them. Nobody wants them. It's just this, probably because there's so many of them or whatever the case may be. And yeah, boy, was I wrong. Like a lot. And so I'm trying to get my wallet out of my back pocket while I'm driving with my knee next to a school bus. Hey, kids. Anyway, so boy, was I wrong. So, not that I would talk about myself in the same vein as others, but sports card influencers, podcasters have made similar, they're like being Nostradamus and going, oh, I know what you should buy, and oh, this is what we should do. And probably they're right 50% of the time. They're as good as you. So they really don't have anything, ball or even the data that people are using now. I don't think it's doing a very good job predicting stuff right now either. So I think the shellacking that some influencers have been getting, I think the past couple of months, just from the community in general, and in particular Sports Card Radio, who's all of a sudden, they've been around for forever with their website, but he's now popping up more and more on the YouTube. And at first, I didn't dislike what he was saying, but the way it was being conveyed, it was just like, this guy's being a little beta male and this and that, and he's going after people that I really was like, they're like whatever. But I think that was like maybe one episode, two episodes in. I love it. I love him. I just like the way he is. Some people might think he's smarmy or bad for the hobby. I think he's great for the hobby. And I think it's two things. I think people don't realize that, yeah, he's shedding a light on, influencers, group breakers, and all that good stuff. But he's really shining a light on us collectors because we don't care. There's people who have stolen, cheated, trimmed cards, not give you cards for over a year, return your cards over a year, have sex with underage girls, and we will still go back to these people because a card might be $3 or $4 cheaper. That's really what it is. It's embarrassing. We have no balls and we have really no integrity in the hobby for the most part. A lot of people do. There's some people that are like, oh, I'm not like that and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. All right, I'm being general here. I don't mean every single person. I'm not talking about certain people. I'm just saying, these people are all in business and making plenty of money, making a lot of money, actually, way more than me through, this hobby. And they've done some horrendous things. And people don't care. Just don't. They don't. They just go, oh, they have a card I like. And so I like Sports Card Radio. I love what they do. But I think that's part of the reason why people don't like them, because it turns the light on the collector themselves and how stupid and dumb we are. It's like spending money to get cards graded with PSA. If you like being kicked in the nuts, then go and keep on doing it. they're going, people are like, oh, well, but they're giving it back now in a month and a half. What about the cards we sent the year ago? Oh, they're working on it. They're making a great headway. I don't know whose voice talks like this in the hobby. It's more like, you know, fatso guys. But if I have to explain the joke, it might not be that great of a joke. But I don't know. I don't know why anyone would. I will not spend one dime sending cards into PSA, ever. You don't give my cards for a year. My cards drop in value because, well, A, there's so many and they're so abundant, the cards that I sent. That was a little, you know, stupid on us. But I just don't know. Hold on. It sucks. I get phone calls while I'm driving. And I'm like, hey, I'm trying to do a podcast. Sorry, so I got to stop it. So I lost my train of thought. You would go, hey, why don't you listen back? But yeah, I'm not going to do that. Nah, I'm joking. I will. So, PSA bad. Sorry. And plus, I was listening to Sports Card Radio yesterday, and they were talking about, and it's something that I've always complained about too, about the, upcharge, because now the card's worth a lot more money because of the grade that they gave it. It takes you no time. There's no difference in anything that you do in grading a base card or a card that works worth $5,000. So the fact that they upcharge you is just another, you know, jerk move on their part. That's why never to spend $50, to grade the card is another thing, but that's never. I'll buy a PSA card. I'm not, you know, being that much of a jerk, but they will never get money from me again. The only people I will send it to is SGC. They corrected themselves, and you get your cards pretty quickly. Resale values, though, just like everything else, is going down. So you got to really be picky on the cards that you're sending over to SGC. It's really got to be a numbered card, a rare card, and you better get a 10. Because even 9.5s, it's like, Because depending on the card that you're buying, if you're buying a raw card that's, you know, numbered and it's all right, you're probably spending $50. You're going to spend $35 to get it graded and, you know, shipped back to you. So now you're at $85. And if you get it at, if it's worth $100 and you're not using eBay, you're just doing it, you know, maybe at a card show or something like that. But even still, if you're selling it at a card show, they're not going to buy it at $100. They're going to buy it at $75, $80. So you got to wait for the price to go up. And right now, prices are not going up. They're pretty much steady. And I think there's all, you know, with the economy the way it is, people aren't worried about, you know, cards right now. I think the upper echelon of cards, they're gonna be fine. Because the rich, they got the money, and they got a lot of it. And they're going to have even more. But with inflation, gas prices, and everything else, it's going to be difficult. For the hobby, for sure. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to be, but I can't imagine it's going to be, you know, oh, cards are good again. I think it's going to be back to the general trend of the way it used to be. Back in 2018, you had a run-up of cards before each season, so I think football, you could probably see prices go up. You know, same quarterbacks, really running backs, wide receivers. They tried to say, hey, no, these cards are good too. Everybody loves these cards. Defensive players, no, they're going to be, it's a sneaky pick. Nah, it seems like everyone's like, yeah, no, we were just joking with you. No, we just like quarterbacks. So, I think that's the way it's going to be. Basketball, same thing. Once basketball season's over, maybe you might have Jason Tatum. Might go up, but his cards probably went up already, so it's probably baked in to the pricing. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't been following, you know, as detailed as I used to be, but I mean, it's those are the trends. It's the run up, and then for football, it's the run up, and then once the season starts, you know, even if people do what everyone predicted they would do, you know, they have like a banner season, the price is like, It's not what they do, it's what we think they're going to do. That's why the prices go up. So I think it's gone back to the old ways. I think actually base cards at PSA 10s have dropped lower than what they used to be. But it used to be, you know, if you had a good rookie card, PSA 10, their base, it would probably be around $20 to $30. If it went to, you know, 9 or BGS 9.5 or whatever, they were, you know, $15, $10. It wasn't worth it to get it graded, which is what it is now. It's not worth to get graded. I don't know how the dynamic is of, all right, I just want a base card graded of, you know, a Wander Franco rookie card, and but it costs $50. I don't think that card in PSA 10 will be, you know, a $70, $80 card. It might be now. I have no idea. I'm not even looking at it. I don't know the prices. But I can't imagine it sustaining it for a long period of time. So I think the only way to, if you're going to flip it, is to do it right away and do it now. Long term, unless this guy becomes a god, I can't imagine his cards staying at the prices. Look at Zion's cards, you know, how much they've dropped. And now they're starting to go back up a little bit just because he's feeling better now and he's not hurt. And he should be playing next year. Who knows? He might, you know, I don't know. He just likes to get hurt a lot. He likes to. He's like looking forward to, he's like, oh, I think I'm going to get hurt this week. So I just think it's back to the way it was somewhat. But in other instances where, you know, I think the COVID put a spotlight on areas that should have been more money, and now they are. So they did that. I think the auctions and all the high prices and things like that, I don't think, unless it's something incredibly rare, we're going to see these crazy prices like they were. I think you'll see plenty of people spending tens of thousands of dollars. But I just don't think we're going to see these all-time highs for cards that are, like the Michael Jordan rookie card. I remember everyone was predicting that to be a $1 million card. I had no idea. It seemed like a little weird because there was a lot of them. It's not like it you know, they're there. It's not like even a Mickey Mantle, a 52 Mickey Mantle, there's a decent amount of them. Not in PSA 10, but they're out there. It's not like a Honus Wagner where it's very low pop and there's not that many of them in a, you know, very high grade. So I think scarcity is starting to, I mean, it's been in the hobby for a while, but I think it's really starting to take shape again. And I think that will be the dominant factor, which is obvious. I don't think I'm breaking news. SVA comes back. It says serial numbered and rare cards. Maybe cards to invest in. I think right now the only cards to invest in is just going to be vintage cards. I think, you know, you might have a chance if you have money to play with, where you can buy some nice vintage cards and hold on to them, because I don't see those cards dropping. They might go flat level. I don't know if that's even a word. They might stay the same, plateau. I know there was a run on vintage cards, you know, not too long ago. But again, the economy is crap. It's in the crapper. So I don't see a ton of people going out there going, honey, we need to invest in baseball cards. Okay, we won't eat this week. It just makes financial sense. So there's that. What I've been doing. I am always looking to hustle. And the reason why I got into this was A, I liked cards. And B, I wanted to flip cards. And I thought I could make money off of it. And I did fairly well. I wanted to get a little bit more serious. A buddy of mine called me up and said, hey, look, I want to sell on eBay. We've known each other since college. We always try to, you know, do that side hustle thing. And it just, we always had a problem. Our biggest problem, to be honest with you, was sourcing. Getting enough stuff at a cheap enough price. We couldn't figure that out. Well, and everyone's like, well, duh. But, like, everyone else was able to figure it out around us. And we're like, but what about us? And so, you know, there's this group. It's Daily Refinement and Tech and Sports that I told them to follow. I actually did an interview on Daily Refinement way back when. And these guys, I've always known them. These guys are, if you want to make money on eBay, I'm not even talking about cards. I'm talking about anything. If you follow these guys, you will make, you could do it. They have a foolproof plan. It's a lot of work, but they are beasts. Tech and Sports in particular. He is the number one vintage shirt, hats, probably polo shirts on eBay. Number one seller. Guy is a beast. I remember following him like 8 or 9 years ago on Instagram, and I used to see him posting what he listed each day. And what it was, he listed 150 items per day, every day, 365 days a year for 10 years. Now that's consistency. And he did it. And he worked, and this was a side hustle. He had a full-time job. He owned a landscaping company. And I always, where are you getting all this stuff? And he would just say, hey, figured it out. I started driving around. So he would buy the stuff that day, take pictures, list it, put the stuff back in inventory, and ship out 125, 150 items as a side hustle every single day. Now he does close to 250 items, and he is the biggest vintage seller, shirt seller probably in America right now. And you would have no idea about it. He doesn't say boo, but that group is amazing. And so I did my buddy, since he really wanted to get, into it, I want to be serious. He got me into it. So I wanted to sell cards. I was like, all right, I have cards here. Let me get serious about it. I'm going to join the group. There was a couple of card people there. Maybe there's something I'm missing. So we joined the group, and there's actually a mentorship program. And I said, hey, I'm cool. I'm hip. I could talk on the YouTubes. And they said, sure, you could do it. And so one of the first questions I had was sourcing. That's it. Ooh, I'm having a difficult time. And I think that's a difficult time for everyone. I think for the most part, we are able to find stuff 80%, 85%, 75% of comps. I think we can do that pretty well at most card shops, even on eBay, on Instagram, on Facebook. You're able to do that. The problem is if you're selling on eBay, 13% comes right off. So if you're buying it at 80%, 20% off, you only got 7% to play with. And the way things go, most likely the card you bought is going to go down in price. Heaven forbid it goes up. And so you don't have room to play with. There's no margin. So to do that on a steady basis was difficult. I couldn't figure it out. So I asked the guy, he goes, hey, talk to one of the top sellers on Amazon. And he sells sports cards on eBay. And he's like, there's two ways to go about it. One, sell thousands upon thousands of dollar cards, low price cards, and just the volume you'll be able to do it. Or buy cases upon cases upon cases of cards. I'm talking about like 20 cases, and that will lower your risk of not getting that banger of a card that you can resell, and you can make profit that way. So in one instance, I can buy, $1 cards, try to buy that scanner that scans 50 cards at a time and try to list as quickly as possible. It's very hard to list cards quickly. I started to get a little bit better at it. My fastest was 21 cards in an hour, where I took a picture, listed the item, and put the card away. I know I was stupid. You're like, well, what's putting the card away? It takes time, whatever it is. It takes a minute. You got to put it back in the sleeve, put it back in the top loader, and put it in the correct spot that you have, because I have everything separated in as sports, you know, by sport. So it takes a while. But for the most part, I'm probably around 10 to 15 cards listed each day. And so, is that an option? Is that a feasible thing for me to do? You know, working, trying to work full-time, semi-full-time, and trying to do this on the side. Can I do that? Can I list, 100 cards in a day? I don't know. And make $1, $2 each card. I know if I go the other route, if I go the buying cases route, now I'm spending tens of thousands of dollars. And that's exactly what he said. He goes, yeah, you're going to probably just have to spend $10,000, $15,000 in cards. And so it just dawned on me. I was like, well, I guess that's it. He goes, or you could buy cards, get them graded, and then, add value to them. It was like everything that I knew. There was no secret sauce. There was no back room where they're like, all right, let's let him in. Open the door. This is what you got to do. This is Bob. You buy cards off of him for 50% off. Oh, thank God. Hey, Bob. Like, there's no Bob. There's no Joe. There's no Jorge. I can't think of any other name. It doesn't exist. It's just going to card shows, buying collections, sifting through everything, picking out the best stuff. Stuff that tried and true ways that take a long time. And that's what he was saying. It's a long tail process. I was going, yeah, I'm going to spend thousands of dollars getting these cards graded, and I have to wait a couple of months. And they're like, all right, you're trying to build something, an empire of cards. It's going to take more than a month. But I'm going to have thousands of dollars waiting and doing nothing. And that's not really what I wanted. That's not how I wanted to do, resale. And so it's now I'm like, all right, I need to pivot. And so I just selling everything that I have, the dollar cards and everything. And I'm going to use my money to start buying clothes, used clothes, because you could buy it anywhere. And the thing is, you could buy clothes, use, clothes, and it's certain brands. You don't just buy anyone. You got to know what you're doing here. Most money you're going to spend is, $8-$10. But for the most part, you're probably buying it for $2, $3, $4, $6. Prices aren't going to go down. Ralph Lauren isn't going to be like, he pulled his knitting finger. So he's not going to be able to knit too good these sweaters. These sweaters looked really bad because he lost his knitting finger. So the prices aren't going to go down. They do, but it takes a while. It's a slow, gradual thing. So it makes more sense, because if I make a mistake and buy a shirt that's $5 and I go, crap, I can only sell this for $10. I'm still making money on this mistake of a buck or two. It might not be a lot, but it's better than buying something for $10 and he pulls a hammy and now the card's worth $3, which happens all the time. Graded cards. I can't tell you how many cards that I bought as the prices were going down. It just wasn't enough. And now I spent $200 and now they're worth $90 or $100. And the players did well. I can't tell you how many Pete Alonzos I have that I bought at high prices. I thought they were good prices, and at the time they were. They're worth half the price. And Pete Alonzo's batting fine. He's not doing anything bad. He didn't do anything wrong. It just is what it is, and it just sucks. And so I don't want to play that gambling game. The gamble, one of the reasons why they were interested in having a sports card seller was they like the gamble, and they like the person, people to do the gamble. People who are buying are gambling, like on breaks and stuff like that. But even to do breaks, you're not buying cards for the margins are nothing. you're going to spend an exorbitant amount of time trying to build your base, exorbitant amount of time to, you know, sort cards and everything like that. And it's just, it's not what I want. So I'm going to be selling. I think I'm close to 500 listed. I might be, I don't know, cards, I'm right there. Maybe a high 400s. And I'm just going to keep doing that, getting money, and starting to have a different store to sell clothes. Because I want to resell. That's what I want to do. I want something where money is, where it's consistent. And if I list 10 items, it's going to sell. So I suggest if you have a similar thing, you want to do sports cards, it's fine. Or you want to make money off to the side, you follow these guys. It's Daily Refinement. They have plenty of free videos where you do not have to be part of the group. I don't get anything for the, you know, saying to join the group or anything like that. You don't really need to. If you just follow their methods, you will make a lot of money. It's pretty simple. They say the same thing over and over again in their videos. And every single person in that group that I see, there's about 2,000 people. I can't tell you how many people that I've seen go from 2,000 to 10,000 in sales within 90 days. It's incredible. But I'm in a little different boat because now I'm going to be transitioning. Not that type of transitioning. The woke crowd might get angry at me. So that's what I've been doing. I know it's not a lot of sports talk. It's more about my life, which I don't think anyone truly cares about. But, I think influencers, for the most part, are eh. I don't go by their predictions or anything like that. I think that's pretty obvious now. I like Card Collectors 2's little dollar box stuff. I like that. I watched that, even though he has his own little scandals. I didn't see that big of a deal what he did. He pushed his cars off to a second company and didn't say anything. And it's like a lot of companies do that. They offshoot their stuff because they don't have the time. It's something rather, you know, common in the business world. They just, you know, didn't pick the right one. Mark's cards went under. And so that was that. I'm more, you know, disgusted with, like, the grading companies, how a lot of the trimmed cards are getting through, just the time they're taking to grade these cards, and it's just, eh. But it is what it is. All right, guys, SVA Card Collectors, I have no idea if I'm going to be doing any more of these. I'm sure I'll do another one. I do like doing it, so maybe if some news pops up, my Jets win the Super Bowl. then I guess the podcast is over. No, I'll probably be saying something else. I got long drives, so I should be able to do these. And you still know what you got to do. Buy some cards and go broke. Later.